Hey everybody, it's Brock Polk, and I want to thank you for listening to this message from Heritage Church of Christ. We would be thrilled to share more content like this with you and make it easy for you to share it with others. You can find more messages like this on our podcast, or you can download our smartphone app by searching for Heritage Church of Christ in your app store. But most importantly, I hope this message encourages you to take a next step toward a thriving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy.
People, the meaning of communion changes over time as we grow, as we go through different life experiences.
As Brandon said, we want to share our thoughts about communion and how it's changed over time. And as a kid, I don't know about you, but I played the Lord's Supper at home. We would line up the chairs, we would get a little plate and put crackers on them. So we had a beginning understanding of what the crackers and the juice were, but we didn't fully understand the implications of all of it. Hopefully, as we grew, we understood more. We knew the phrases the Lord's Supper and communion, and some of you may have heard it called the Eucharist in other churches. I didn't yet know why it was called all those things. I still may not fully understand all the implication of those words, but when I became a Christian, I often went through the motions of what I thought I was supposed to do in many areas of my life. Communion has sometimes felt like another checklist on that thing I do as a Christian. Over time, few things about this ceremony have changed. From the time I first participated in communion, we passed the bread and the cup quietly. Now we sing when we take the elements. But the Lord's Supper still symbolizes all the things that did when Jesus sat at the table with the apostles and made the promise of the new covenant that he would seal within a few days. But one thing that has changed is my perspective on it. I'm not just an 8-year-old playing communion at my parents' home. There are different parts of me that I can identify with in this moment. As a parent, as a child, as a friend, a sister, a spouse, I think about God the Father and how much love he has for us. I think about Jesus as the Son of God who obeyed in that same love. I also think about Jesus as the friend of the apostles. This brings up different emotions and perspectives that deepen the meaning of the Lord's Supper for me. I also think that the Lord's Supper isn't just communing with Jesus, but it's communing with each other as we gather together here. When Jesus had the Last Supper with the apostles, it was the time of the Passover feast. And my understanding of the Passover feast is that it was a time where they would pray and eat and sing and retell the story of being rescued from slavery and leaving that land and God protecting them from the plague of the firstborn sons. And isn't that what we do each week when we come together and we gather and we pray and we sing and we meet each other and we commune and ultimately take the Lord's Supper?
For me, I was about 21 years old before I was a part of a church family that did communion on a regular weekly basis. And that was about the same time that I had become serious about following Jesus. If I were to look back and kind of see what the meaning was to me of communion in my 20s, I think most of my thoughts revolved around me being a sinner, me being unworthy of what Christ did for me, being undeserving of God's grace. And while all of those things are true, very true for all of us, I think subconsciously I allowed some shame and guilt to creep into my thoughts. And I know that's not what Jesus wants for us. But over time, and after going through different experiences and looking at things differently, communion to me now is mainly all about focusing on what Jesus did for us, being thankful for his love and his sacrifice for us, and experiencing that and sharing that with a body of believers.
I realize I don't know a lot of you out here today. We mostly go to second service. And I apologize for that. But for those of you that do know me, you know that I am a little bit of a people person. I like to be with people. I like to be with friends. I like to connect with others. I'm an extrovert. So recently we met with new friends for dinner. We had looked forward to it for a long time. We had tried to schedule through illnesses, through holidays, through travel. And we finally were able to meet with them a few weeks ago. We sat at a restaurant eating and talking, and we sat there for almost 3 hours, I think, by the time that we left. It was a really wonderful time of connection with each other. In a similar way, Jesus looked forward to reclining at the table with his apostles. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we've been digging into a passage a little further. We're spending time in Luke 22. Starting in verse 8, Jesus tells Peter and John to prepare the Passover feast. I can picture Jesus being inundated with people, wanting to be healed, wanting to hear from him. But he has told John and Peter to go on and prepare. And then verse 15, it says, he eagerly desired to eat this Passover with them before he suffered. And I can understand that. I eagerly look forward to things. I look forward to being home with my family after a long week of work. I look forward to seeing my daughters when I haven't seen them. I look forward to doing special things on a regular basis. Even Jesus, knowing what was coming, had similar anticipation to being with the apostles. I'm still working through these verses. So I don't even know that maybe he was looking forward to the food as much as he was looking forward to being with them. Right now, I'm leaning towards his connection with the apostles and the special moment that it was for them. And I'm sure there's more to it, but I can't help but stop at that eagerly desired to be with them. Much like we looked forward to being with our friends, Jesus loves us, and he loved his apostles, and he looked forward to the time with them, all the while knowing what was coming. This just reemphasizes for me all the love he has for us, for his friends. And even in the last month, my experience with the Lord's Supper has changed. I am more eagerly looking forward to that time to commune with each other and with him.
So in the passage that Kara talked about in Luke 22, it says that Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Then he broke it and gave it to his apostles and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I want to spend a minute just thinking about the idea of remembering. About 15 years ago, my grandfather that I was very close to passed away. And there are a number of different things that I remember about my grandfather. But the thing that sticks out the most to me is something that he would say, or that we kind of started saying together when we played golf together. I was probably 9 or 10 years old when I first started playing golf with my grandfather. And into my teenage years, when I got better and bigger and our skill levels were closer, he started this kind of tradition or this phrase, and he would come up to me on the first tee box and he would say, "May the best turkey gobble," and he'd shake my hand. And it's kind of his way of saying, "Hey, may the best man win." We said that to each other every time we played golf from then on. It's something I'll never forget, always remember it the rest of my life, even to this day when I go play golf with a friend. I go to the first tee, and that crosses my mind. And I'm sure a lot of you have a memory like that with a loved one. For the most part, the things we remember about people are the things that are meaningful to us, things that have impacted our lives. So with that thought, what are some of the things you remember about Jesus that have impacted your life and your walk right now? What comes to mind when you think about Jesus? Do you think about something that he said or taught? Do you think about his kindness in the way, excuse me, that he treated people that needed help? Do you think about the grace and the mercy that he showed to sinners? Do you think about his suffering? Do you picture him hanging on the cross? Or do you just think about how much he loves you? Whatever it is that you remember and think about Jesus right now, we pray it draws you closer to him and gives more meaning to this communion time together. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much that you designed a time for us to be together. A time to be together and focus on your Son and our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the bread, for the juice that represents his body and his blood. We pray, Father, as we think about and remember different aspects of Jesus' life and what he means to us, that you will draw us closer to him, that our relationship will be strengthened. We just thank you so much for his love and his willingness to suffer on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.